Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 15. These are God's words. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels stood round the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever." Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them." So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. The Apostle John is observing scene in glory, and there are a lot of people who are there. If you have ever been to a University of Michigan football game, sometime, usually during the second or third quarter, the PA announcer will come over the loudspeaker and say, "Today's paid attendance." It'll be like something like 112,000 and something. You look around and it's a great multitude, but they were numbered. The multitude in glory. And this is just the multitude of those in the white robes. The holy angels are additional multitude. And the scripture says myriads of myriads, tens of thousands, which means hundreds of millions of those. And an innumerable number of those in the white robes. Well, who are those in the white robes? They are the ones who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Wouldn't recommend using anyone else's blood as bleach in your laundry. You may not get the results that you would like. But with the robes representing the righteousness of the saints, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ has bleached clean, white, whiter than anyone could ever make it. All of this multitude. Yes, Victoria.
Their clothes?
Lamb's blood? Is that what you said? No, nobody uses lamb's blood. This is figurative for sure. Okay, but you do use Jesus's blood to bleach your sin and your guilt. And even by the time you get there, your behavior and your thoughts and your attitudes, all by the power of the blood of Jesus applied to you by the Holy Spirit. And you'll shine whiter than any bleach could ever make any clothing. Okay, so you have the great number and the great whiteness. You know what else is great? The amount of noise. Now, there are many of you around one table, and if each of you starts to make just a little bit of noise, it gets loud in here. But there are far more than 8 people here in the scene in Revelation 11. Sorry, the scene in Revelation 7. And what they are doing in verse 10 is they're each crying out with a loud voice. Some of you have noticed that over time in the public worship at Hopewell, the singing has improved as people become more comfortable or more convicted, or maybe both, about singing with a loud voice. And the voices now begin to fill the room. So you have an innumerable multitude, and every single one of them is crying out with a loud voice. What we have in these verses is completely deafening. Mortal ears could not endure the level of noise. What, John?
In
the
Bible, after it says worshiping God, say, amen, blessing and glory, wisdom, thanksgiving,
yes,
and honor.
Yes.
At the end, we'll be to our God forever and ever. It says, amen, again.
Okay, that's in all of our Bibles. Okay. So, it is an innumerable multitude in brilliant white clothes, crying out, each one of them crying out with a loud voice. And then the angels respond. So far, the angels aren't praising yet. You know what's interesting? Do you know what the angels praise God most for? This is the highest praise you can imagine. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor, and power and might be to our God forever and ever. What is it that makes the multitude of angels and the four living creatures and the elders of the angels? And you can tell because one of the elders says, you know, puts the question to him in verse 13, and this is similar to many other places in the book of Revelation where an angel asks John a question. And it's a question that he's not sure what the answer should be. And so John responds with, "Sir, you know." And then the angel tells him what the answer is. What are the innumerable multitude of angels praising God for? The same salvation that the innumerable multitude of those clothed in white are praising God for. So this is that worship to which Jesus was referring when he told the woman at the well in John chapter 4, "We worship what we know, for salvation is of the Jews." The worship that God had given the Jews was something that looked forward to this worship assembly, when the Christ had come and his blood had been shed and he had redeemed his people, and his people have ultimately been sanctified in glory. And not only the multitudes of those who are redeemed worship God for this salvation, but when they say, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb," the angels respond, "Amen." And what the angels praise God for is for how he has redeemed people by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, elsewhere in Revelation, they do praise God for being the creator. And they could have, and there is much in his creation that is very impressive. But the climax of the praise of heaven, of both righteous man and holy angel, is for salvation through the blood of Christ. That is what salvation is all about. Bringing about this worship. And that is what worship is all about. Giving God the honor that is due for who he is, and especially also for what he has done in our salvation. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so far away, not just in space and time, but in the mindset of our hearts, from recognizing the honor that is due to your name, the way these multitudes do in Revelation chapter 7, from appreciating how great has been your salvation, your saving us by the blood of Jesus. And so we pray that you would use this portion of your word that you have granted unto us to read and think about this afternoon, and that your Spirit would make it take root in our hearts, and that you would capture our thoughts and our feelings and our wills, our decision making, by the greatness of your glory and the greatness of your redemption, and how what you are doing in our lives, even this afternoon, is controlled by bringing about what Christ has accomplished and earned in the shedding of his blood, so that circumstances might not have power to discourage us, and offenses from others might not have power to infuriate us or embitter us, but that remembering you and having the greatness of your glory and your salvation before the eyes of our hearts, we might be able to respond well in every situation, joyfully trusting you and knowing that you are going to get us there from here. Oh Lord, how we thank you for Jesus Christ, whose blood assures us of this, and we pray in his name. Amen. Is he